Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Jenneth Blackert, and today we're talking with Morgana Ray, and we're going to talk about your money, honey. And let me just tell you a little bit about Morgana, and I'll give her an official bio in just a minute. But before I do so, I just want you to know I do a joint venture call, every single month. And in a month, I'm going to share with you how you can get my complete archive of every single one of these calls for, which ends up being 82 interviews. So if you like to listen to interviews and you want to have unlimited access to all the archives, I'm going to let you know how to do that next month. So please join me for that call and I'll tell you about it. It's just a new thing that we're putting together and hopefully it'll be ready by next month. And I just wanted to kind of give you guys a heads up about that. Okay, and then tonight's call, which, I added a little, it's so funny, Morgana, I have this book, it's called Seven Dragons, A Guide to a Limitless Mind, and you use in your wording the money monsters, and in my book I use dragons. So every time I wrote copy about your monsters, I started to kind of put in parentheses dragon.
Good. So your people know what we're talking about.
Yeah. But it was kind of cute because I was like, no, not, and I talk about befriending your dragons and how to learn to work with your dragons, right? Mm. You don't just like poof, try to blow them up, but it's more about how to work with them. So it sounds like we're in alignment with how we play with our monsters or dragons, but it was very cute. When you said that.
I'm a little more dramatic with the monster than you are with the dragon.
Okay. Well, cool. I'm excited to learn.
Okay. Okay.
You do blow up your monsters.
Oh,
you
know,
throw some dynamite.
My clients are the healers and the coaches and the light workers of the world. And just last week, one of my clients, the sweetest, lightest, sort of like fairy queen kind of person you'd ever meet, was running over her money monster with a monster truck.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So
well.
They're similar and they're different. It'll make sense.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get down. Yeah. Let me read your official bio.
Okay.
All right. Morgana Ray is an internationally acclaimed life coach, author, and professional speaker, and regarded as the world's top relationship with money coach. Morgana's groundbreaking program for attracting wealth has featured her in Personal Excellence Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, United Press International, and the Wall Street Journal Online. Morgana has been featured with experts with major thought leaders, including Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, John Azarath, John Gray, and T. Harv Eker. Morgana, welcome.
Oh, thank you. And now I can be a featured expert with Jenneth Blackert too.
Yes. And that's going to mean so much more in a year from today. It means a lot now, but in a year, oh boy, you guys better watch out.
I can't wait to see.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see.
I've got a big plan and a big vision.
All right. Exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. Let's, I know that there's some points that we wanted to talk about today. And do you want me to ask you questions? Do you want to just take the lead from here?
Why don't you
start with your background?
Make it a conversation. Why don't you ask me a question first?
Okay. Fabulous. Why don't you share how you became a money relationship expert?
Well, like a lot of people who are under-earning these days, I've been an overachiever in a lot of other areas where even in high school, I was hit by a car, thrown in a coma, had, a head injury and homelessness, and I still graduated with great grades and a National Merit Scholarship. And as a coach, and a lot of coaches identify with this, I was helping other people make lots and lots of money, and I wasn't making any money myself. Mm-hmm. And I was reading all the books and taking all the classes and getting more and more certifications as a coach and work, crying to my coach, crying to my therapist, and I could not make a living. And I had people lining up asking to work with me, but as soon as they would ask me what I charged, I would choke. I was so uncomfortable with that question, and all this stuff would go through my head, like, I want to help people, I don't want to harm them, they can't afford me, they'll think I only care about money and they won't like me, and on and on and on. And that was before I answered the question, what do I charge? And frankly, I don't know if I ever answered the question. But after completing, I kept taking classes thinking, well, gee, if I get those letters, if I get this skill, then I can be comfortable charging. And instead, I was just losing more and more clients to the point that I was making only $100 a month, which really sucked, trying to help people with their lives and I'm making only $100 a month. And it finally hit such a horrible point where I was thinking of killing myself. I was I take this very seriously. I made a decision that money was my next area of spiritual growth. Soon after that, my coach asked me what happened with money growing up. And I'm personally responsible, I'm not a victim, I've worked on myself, blah, 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 blah. And if I hadn't thought of this in decades, but when I was 12 years old, my stepfather stole my childhood, my grandmother stole my childhood inheritance. I was supposed to inherit a house. And a couple of years later, my stepfather stole my college trust fund. These are people I love, people I still love. But at the time, at 12 years old, I made a decision that these issues were between the grown-ups, and I didn't think it mattered to me. Because when you're 12 years old and you aren't paying bills, money really, really doesn't matter. So I kind of shut it away and had no idea that it affected me. And I went to this kind of hippie communist magnet school where we majored in Beatle music and marched. The man. So
that doesn't surprise me about you.
Are you really? And my grandmother created the Renaissance Fair. So money was not like our highest value. We were all artists, and we were all saving the world. And we were really educated too. So flash forward a couple decades later, and I'm working hard, I always got good grades, I was always a great student, I'm getting great results, and I'm not making any money, and I had no clue why. And it wasn't until my coach asked me what happened growing up that I thought of those things. And I never knew they affected me.
It was painful back then is what you were thinking.
I just ignored it. I didn't want to deal with it. We don't know how deeply things affect us as kids. I made a decision that I had to choose between love and money. And I always choose love. And if you have money and love fighting on opposite teams, everybody loses. So what changed it all for me, because I was taking all the classes, I had 7 people in a row say they would hire me and then not show up for the first session, and I hadn't gotten paid in advance. That was a clue something was wrong. My totally intuitive coach said, well, if money were a person, who would money be? And that was when my life changed. Because the moment I saw money as a person, and who knows where this image came from, but I suddenly saw this big, scary, dirty, violent biker who causes fights. Bald, with the big sideburns, tall, muscular, tattoos, wife beater shirt. I mean, I just totally saw him out of nowhere. And I saw myself being at a party, an outdoor party with this guy, and I would have my eye on him the whole time to create maximum distance. And at that moment, I realized, oh, my God, that's what I do with money.
Mm.
I keep it distant. And I never had a clue that I was doing that.
Mm.
So I broke up with the biker.
Yeah.
And then thought, oh, my God, I just broke up with my money. I have no money. What am I going to do?
Wow.
So I thought, well, who would I want in my life so much that I would want him even though he's money?
Mm.
Do you hear how different that is than I want someone who's going to buy me stuff?
Yeah.
There was so much. Oh,
love.
Excuse me?
Yeah,
there's
love.
So much. Yeah. There's so much fear and hurt around money that I had to make money so delicious and attractive and wonderful, a person so wonderful that I could tentatively allow money in my life.
Yeah.
And presto, again, popped up out of, you know, some dark recess of my imagination, Mr. Tall, dark, handsome, young man, very beautiful, safe, romantic, and in love with me.
Mm.
And I could feel it. And it was weird, and it was amazing. And I had a great boyfriend at that time. This was different. And it was money. And he wanted to be with me, and he wanted to woo me. What would that be like if money wanted to woo you?
Yeah.
And loved you?
Mm-hmm.
So here I have this gorgeous young man wearing a tuxedo, carrying a bouquet of red flowers, who's in love with me and wants to be with me. And let me just walk you through what I've done so far, okay? So the people at home know the process. The first step was uncovering the cause of my financial problem, the cause of the monster. And it's not just money. It's anything that has ever made you feel unsafe, unworthy, unlovable. When I did it, it kind of was just accidental, magical, and kind of superficial.
Mm-hmm.
It was good enough for them. That's step one. Step two is personify the problem into the monster. Like a real, we as human beings, we know how to break up with people. We know how to end relationships. So we make money a relationship so you can get rid of it.
Yeah.
Step number three is get rid of it. Step number four is meet your money honey. But you can only meet him when the monster is completely gone. That's how this is a little different than the dragon, is the monster. Excuse me?
Yeah, it is different because we, you know, I kind of address it that they're part of you. It's a part of you. So we have to change his behavior. So instead of getting rid of it, instead I work with how do you get him to behave? How do you get him to do anything? Like a man, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, the monster is separate from you.
Yeah.
Clients come to me who were violently or sexually abused as small children, or they were betrayed in relationships, or I met a gentleman whose father committed suicide. Their monster is a killer.
Yeah.
Not because it's not healthy. We don't want to destroy you, but we want to take everything that has hurt you, including every negative thing that you've thought about yourself, and put it on the monster outside of yourself. This is, I call it financial alchemy, because alchemy is the transmutation of lead in human experience into spiritual, and in my case, material gold. And the first step of alchemy is the blackening. We want to separate the dark from the light. So we put everything that has ever hurt you on that monster.
Yeah.
Everything that has ever made you feel frightened or bad about yourself, and we get rid of it all.
Cool.
And it will feel so weird because you've had it your whole life.
Mm.
Your parents have had it. You don't want to pass it on to your kids. So clients tell me that they feel lighter. Sometimes the room visually looks brighter to them. And you've got this emptiness. And we don't want to leave it empty for the monster to come back. So we bring in the opposite. No matter how terrible the monster was, that your money, honey, is even better. Mm. Which is why we want to have a really horrible, scary monster, because your money, honey, will always be bigger and better. So you, step number four is discovering your money, honey. And your money, honey, is romantic and erotic and greater than human. Because it took me years and hundreds, literally hundreds of clients, Jen, to figure out what makes this work consistently.
Yeah.
So the first years, I had clients who had like fluffy red cats, fluffy orange cats and dogs and ponies and Gandhi and Oprah and fairy godmothers and all these kind of characters as their money honeys. One person had a unicorn and had the worst year of his life, the worst financial year of his life, and called me a year later. He saw me speak at a bookstore. Went home, did it himself without me, came up with the money honey was a unicorn. And when I heard that, wow, when he hired me a year later, I just had to laugh. Because,
yeah,
A, we have no frame of reference for having a relationship with a unicorn. It's not real.
Right.
And two, you don't want to get intimate with a unicorn.
No, not really. You just want to fly off into the sky with one, right?
No, it's we got him a money honey who was human and female, and his shock was like his eyes flew wide open and said, "Oh my God, this feels so real."
Good. Oh wow. Cool.
When you get turned on, you become really attractive.
Yeah.
That's step number four. Step number five is now you've got your dream boat. For the women out there, you've got your hot guy, your Viggo Mortensen, your Johnny Depp. And so you've got this money who, and here's a big secret, is he chose you. That's why he looks the way he does and smells and feels the way he does, because that is what activates you, and he chose you out of anybody in the world to have this relationship with. So you've got this guy who really loves you and wants to be with you, and you have all the power in the relationship.
Yeah.
I've discovered this having had this relationship for over 8 years now, and I've seen it, and my clients have discovered it. The money never really leaves us, but we leave him. We lose trust, or we don't take care of ourselves. Whatever it is, we lose faith and we leave him. He's still there, and we can always come back to him. Yeah. But the first thing you do is you just ask him. It's like, what do you need from me so you can stay with me?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't traditional law of attraction stuff where you just like say, give me this, give me that, I want this house, I want blah, blah. You know, it's different than that. This is not conditional love. This is, oh my God, you are making my heart skip a beat. It feels so amazing being held in your arms and feeling safe and feeling loved and feeling adored and good enough just as I am. What do you need from me so you can stay with me and feel loved too? And then you listen. That's step number four. No, sorry, five.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a money coach. I can't count, but I'm... Step six is the action step, which is he will tell you what to do, and the trickiest part is creating such a real relationship that you can hear him.
Mm.
And this is where, because in step number five, your money is going to come back with all this, like, great stuff that is really useless, like, I want you to love yourself, or I want you to trust me, or I want you to be true to yourself. And that's like, great, thanks, but what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
So, yeah, loving myself, great idea. I'll work on it. So, but what would be a little easier? So it's just like a baby step, okay? And that's step number 6, is a concrete, measurable action. And the fun thing about this, because I do this with people, and every week I get emails from people who just kind of magically manifested tens of thousands of dollars within it's hours. I've got a story where it happened within 2 minutes, and I'll share that. I really love it when what your money tells you to do makes no sense. That means it's coming from some other place. You know, it's not coming from the part of your mind that got you into this situation. It's coming from a more intuitive, magical place.
Yeah.
Like, Katie's money wanted her to play more, so they negotiated, and she agreed to go skating in the dead of winter in Toronto. She didn't want to, but it was really important to her new money that she go out and play and that she keep her word. So she went out and she went skating. She got home and she got a phone call out of the blue, and without asking, somebody gave her $10,000. Since then, and she's on my website at alchemysuccess.com, it's grown to $20,000 from unexpected sources. She packed up, moved to Mexico where it's a lot warmer, and she's this renaissance coach for artist types, living her dream with her son and her lover down in Mexico. But that's not the story that I wanted to tell you about. I got this email from Lynn Swanson, and this, I feel like, really captures all of it. Her money honey showed up in her imagination dressed up like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. And she kept trying to imagine him in other clothing, and he kept showing up dressed like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. And he said, he was so real. He said, this is how I want to dress. And then he told her what he wanted her to do, which was to transfer money from one bank account to another. No explanation, just transfer money from this account to the other. And she rolled her eyes and said, okay. Now, to give you a little background, Lynn was in such dire straits that she couldn't make payroll that week. She had been on the phone and on the email trying to get paid by a bunch of clients who owed her money, and nobody was paying up. So she has her new spiffy money honey dressed like John Travolta in the white suit, and she heads down to the bank, and she makes the deposit, and she gets in the car, and Saturday Night Fever is playing on the radio. And it takes her a moment, and then she, you know, has a good laugh. And on the way back to the office, she stops to pick up some coffee for somebody working for her. And while she's standing in line, she's checking her email on her smartphone, like we all do these days. And she got an email from a client who was paying his invoice that day, a really big five-figure invoice. They had invoiced him that day. He was not due to pay for another 45 days, and he was wiring the check immediately. And she looked at the timestamp on her bank deposit, and she looked at the timestamp on the email. 2-minute difference.
Cool.
I know. People ask me, well, how long does it take? And it really takes no time at all.
No. Well, you know, it is instant manifestation when you really look at things. I mean, it's even though something doesn't manifest in the physical, once it manifests in the thought process and you stay with that thought until it becomes physical, I mean, that is instant manifestation, right? I mean, it's like the story where you said that she had this desire to go skating, and, you know, she got this, you know, money. Well, you know, if she hadn't have followed that, you know, followed that inspiration, that thought, you know, there was time lag between that thought and making the transaction. I think of that as
the funny thing is she didn't want to go skating. She wanted to have a new relationship with money, and that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
Now, I've noticed
created a new relationship, all right.
Yeah, well, it is. It's a relationship. So yeah. one of my clients, because they're, you know, they're such geniuses, Jen. They really are. I wish I thought of half the stuff they share with me. One of them wrote to me that she discovered money is a relationship, not a number. One of my clients makes a distinction between the number. She calls the stuff in the bank her cash, but her money happens to be named Declan McRae. He is a, like, 19th century Scottish laird who showed up in her bed in the middle of the night in full Scottish regalia and told her all about himself and loved her. And ever since then, it's like healed all those hidden hurt places in herself from a lifetime of feeling unworthy. So now she has this sense of, she says, true wealth is being loved for yourself exactly as you are. And what that has done is it's translated into her art. It's translated into her finances. Even her relationship with her boyfriend is so much better because she feels loved by her imaginary money honey.
Yeah. Wow, cool.
This that's
so
one
fun.
Of my favorite stories.
Yeah.
I love those romance novels with Scottish lairds.
Yeah.
And she wrote it out, and it, you know, with a brogue and the whole thing. So I think that the key piece here is the love. There's the only thing in the world more powerful than fear is love. And we push away what we fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we have very, very good reasons to protect ourselves from those hurt feelings and the dangers out there. But your financial situation will always reflect your relationship with money.
Yeah.
And that's a reflection of your relationship with life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Well, fabulous. I've kind of let you go. Do you want me to re-engage some of these other questions that we've talked about?
I would love that. I just thought of something, and then let's go to some questions. I've been doing all this new program now on how to be a money goddess. And what's been so interesting, you know, talking about the irresistible attractive powers of Aphrodite energy, because, like, money, my client's money honey, when they ask, oh, what do you want me to do? So often their money will say, I want you to go out and get some lingerie. And she does that and she comes home. And twice now I've had clients get their first child support checks in over a decade, or go get a pedicure, or go get a massage. So this, like, real feminine, this whole kind of feminine energy opens up and unfolds. And they become more attracted to men. And just, because when women are frightened financially, we get really tight and we get really hard.
Mm.
And it's not safe to be juicy. But the reason I brought up the Money Goddess program is because I started getting all these responses to the videos on my blog at abundanceandprosperity.com. And what I heard was, for some women, Money Goddess resonated more because they had this idea that if they have to make their money honey happy, it's like just another guy that they have to please.
Ooh,
and,
wow.
Yeah.
And if you're single,
it's like,
that's, oh my God. Yeah.
It's good to know that that's a concern out there. So,
yeah.
What I want everybody to understand is that with your new relationship with money, you don't have to earn the right to be loved. You don't have to earn his love. You don't have to earn his presence. But, and this is a big but, is that he wants your happiness so badly, and he wants you to respect yourself and value yourself so much that he doesn't know how to be with you when you abuse yourself. It's like you leave him and you cheat on him with your monster whenever you devalue yourself. It pushes him away. It breaks his heart. He does not understand it. When you do not hold yourself as a goddess, the way to make him happy will always honor you. You don't have to win his love. You have it. You aren't making him happy so that he'll want to stay. He wants to stay. Don't worry about that. But you have the power to make it possible for him to stay with you. Do you get that distinction?
Yeah. I do. I think it's, you know, there's difference between understanding it and living it and being it. Because the psyche likes to do things and not change. What I found so profound in the research that I have done about you is, there's just testimonial after testimonial after story after story, and when I looked at it, and with all my knowledge of NLP and even storytelling, you know, I know that, you know, stories are transformational, and you know, when I looked at that and I took a deep look into, you know, your work, I realized this is transformational. This is the way that's not like, you know, tapping or repeating affirmations that you could actually have fun with and enjoy and be playful and use your imagination and grow. And, you know, I really want to give the listeners today some really tangible steps in doing that. And
money loves playfulness. He loves to play.
Yeah.
He likes to have fun. He likes to go outside. I made a list of things that I've noticed over the years that money likes and doesn't like. You want to hear some?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Money does not like pollution. Money does not like cruelty to animals. Money does not like lying or cheating or stealing. Money does like strong boundaries. Money really likes black lacy lingerie and silk stockings with the seam up the back. Money seems to like France because money has told clients to cook French, buy French lingerie, and I think 3 clients have gone to Paris with their money. And one of them came home and made $1.5 million within 6 months of starting coaching with me. So there you go. Money likes to ride in the passenger seat of your car. Money likes to go dancing.
Yeah.
Money does not like people-pleasing. Money does not like you undercharging. He doesn't know what to do with that. He doesn't know what to do with you undervaluing yourself, and it breaks his heart when you let people disrespect you.
Mm. Wow, that's good. Yeah.
And the more you get this out of your head, the less you think about it and the more you live it and experience it. I call it your millionaire heart set.
Mm.
Everything you said about like the affirmations and the mindset, if having a good mindset was all that mattered, nobody would ever have to go on a diet again. But that's not where we make our decisions. We make our decisions with our heart.
We make all our decisions with our heart. I mean, every decision we make is for emotional reasons.
Yeah.
When it comes right down to it, you know, when we purchase something, oftentimes it's for emotional reasons. What will I get by purchasing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right. I mean, even the little things, you know, buying food, you know, I think
mm-hmm.
all of it is on some level emotional for, you know, for the love of your health or the love of the taste. Right. And I think there's nothing more powerful than love. And that's why what you're doing is so, so powerful. It's so, so powerful. I'm so excited. And I love that millionaire heart set. That's so cool. That's like your set.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You said something a couple of minutes ago that I want to pounce on. You mentioned psyche.
Yeah.
And you know that I'm doing all these money goddess videos, and the very first one is about the goddess Psyche. Because she didn't start out as a goddess. She started out as a human woman just like you and me. And Cupid, the god of love, fell in love with her. Mm. Fell hopelessly in love with her. Did everything he could to woo her and marry her and take her up to his castle in the sky. There was only one hitch. She couldn't see him.
Yeah.
I don't remember why, but he was invisible to her, and he would only come to her at night.
Mm.
That wasn't so bad at first, because he's the god of love, and the sex was really good.
Right.
But then her sisters came over, and they were so jealous of her beautiful house and you know, that she got to, you know, and that she got all this stuff, and they started saying, oh, Psyche, we heard that he's really a giant serpent who's going to eat you up and destroy you. And they got her so scared of her husband that she couldn't see, and filled her with all these stories of the danger she was in, that night she pulled out a knife and pulled out a candle, and she lit the candle and saw him, and saw the most beautiful man that she'd ever seen. And in that moment, his eyes flew open, and he saw that she had the knife to kill him,
mm.
and that she didn't trust him.
Yeah.
And some of the wax fell on him and burnt him terribly, and he retreated, brokenhearted.
Wow.
And she realized what she had lost. Through her distrust and her misunderstanding, that she thought he was a monster that she had to protect herself from, and she lost him because of that. And the only way that she was able to get him back was to go to Venus herself, the goddess of love, and win him back through love.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he didn't love her, not because she had to... The route back... The healing had to be choosing love. And it has a very happy ending, because not only did she get the guy, but he took her up to Mount Olympus and made her an immortal. And that's when she became a goddess.
Mm.
Just like we change our relationship with money, she changed her relationship with Cupid. And
right.
That's why that's my very first money goddess.
That's cool. You have such a fun business, because you can play. It's all play. Yeah. It's all play and imagination and fairy tales, and it's transforming lives, and it's just, it's cool. It's cool. Very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I believe that if any other way worked for me, I wouldn't have to resort to authenticity.
Right.
I tried all the other stuff. Nobody bought it.
Right.
I think that the longer I'm in business, and I've been coaching for 16 years now, things have changed. Years ago, really professional, right? Like, you have to be a business coach. They're the ones making the money. And it's like, well, you know what? These days it's the palm readers and the psychic channelers, you know, the people who are so completely authentic, letting their freak flag fly. If you deliver results and you can do it in a human way that people can relate to, we want freaks like us.
Mm. Yeah. I kind of have a crossover, and I really, really love it. I really have a crossover between, you know, I'm highly intuitive,
And, you know, and I often use that in sessions with people because I can see, you know, I have that vision of sight. I can see what's next to them. And, you know, but I also have that grounded, tangible steps. Yes, we have, you know, we have to take, you know, these, we have to take steps in the real human world to create certain things. And, you know, so I like to kind of bring the two together that really makes me feel as if I'm using my divine gifts and, also, you know, teaching people how to be incredible marketers, right?
So. Yeah, well, you and I are like that. It's not enough to, you know, light a candle and they will come.
well, yeah, I mean.
I'm a Capricorn. I've got, like, you know, anyway. The tail in the other world, and then I've got the, oh, please. Get real. This is how you test, you know, this is how you choose keywords. this is where you put them, and this is how, you know, this is what's working in the industry these days. That's such a gift, is you really, see, that's the Athena goddess. You've got the sun goddesses like Aphrodite who likes to, you know, be gorgeous and really please herself. But you have Athena, the goddess of wisdom, who really talks about search engine optimization. But the challenge is that business has been Athena-oriented for a very long time. Athena is such a masculine goddess that she doesn't even have a mother. She just jumped out of her dad's head. Grown up and fighting wars and making daddy happy. She is great, and she's powerful, and she's the smartest goddess out there. You know, she really owns the market on wisdom, but she's been doing it all by herself for so long, and she's burnt out.
Yeah,
and that's why we need the depth of Persephone, who goes down into hell and discovers through her pain what her purpose in life is, and who she can help. So that her people can find her and she can serve them and get paid for it.
Yeah.
And we need Hecate, who says, this isn't working for me. This isn't working for me. I'm letting it go. And Artemis, who has night vision, she's the huntress. Her arrows always land. She's so in touch with her animal, physical, intuitive nature. So Athena will have a much better time if she isn't doing the search engine optimization without the Jenith Blackert magic.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some tangible steps that, you know, people need to make their money, honey. And, you know, let's also talk about how does this really work to get people out of debt and to really get the flow of money going? How do you really, you know, can you explain kind of how that works?
Absolutely, absolutely. So when you are having fights, I work with people who are either in debt, not in debt, but stressed out, and I also work with people who know how to make money and are even better at getting rid of it. And all of these people have money monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in your fear, and fear is the worst place to make decisions.
Yeah.
And you feel bad about yourself. When you go through the process, because this piece is not the stuff like, you know, buy a blog, make it optimized, send out a newsletter X many times a week, you know, create a product by having the seven powerful points of, and, you know, the to-do stuff. The to-do stuff is really, really important, and none of it's going to work if you have a bad relationship with money, because that will always overpower it. Start at the beginning with what are the causes of you not having money. Now, it could be it's only because the universe gets our attention through money, love, and health. It's the big divine joke that I ended up being the money magnet queen. It's hysterically funny because you listen to me talk, and I'm talking about romance, this, love, that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I have this list of hundreds of people, you know, who write to me with these outrageous stories, like Elliot Malik made $87,000 in 6 hours within our first session. And then I was talking about it on a radio show a couple of weeks ago, and he was in the chat room. And he called me to the carpet. He said it was $107,000. It's like, oh, sorry.
Oh.
I know. So it really starts with going all out. You have to, you know, really get to where the hurt is. It doesn't matter what the story is. What is the hurt?
Okay.
What is the betrayal that made you hurt so much?
If it's just worry. I mean, because everyone, it seems, you know, worry. It seems like that word worry and money seems to go together with people.
Has to do with love and values. Valued.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I interrupted. What were you saying?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, there, you know, even in my life, who I feel relatively emotionally free, you know, I've worked years just getting present and free and open. And I still occasionally will have worry, you know, that, and it's just like, well, where did that come from? It's not like I'm going to go broke because I just spent $300 on shoes kind of attitude. But it's like worry. It's like it still comes up like I shouldn't have done that. That was frivolous. And all of you guys on the phone are like, yeah, that was frivolous probably. But, you know, and I know that comes from my childhood. You know, truly and authentically comes from my parents telling me that I needed to, you know, save
it becomes part of your monster who punishes you. It's the even the stuff that had nothing to do with money is more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like some kind of sexual embarrassment as a child or a young adult. It, whatever made you feel unworthy or bad or embarrassed or unsafe. I really listen for things that have nothing to do with money. Because the deeper you go, the better. And then somehow you magically make it your money monster. It's like you build a court case against everything that was ever done to you. It's the more you can take on being a victim, the better. You have like carte blanche. Your coach is telling you to be a victim right now. This is your opportunity. And then you blame it all on the monster.
Okay.
So you can get rid of it.
I see. Cool. So it does provide freedom. Freedom from your monsters.
Really? Yes. And, you know, I have fights with my money now. We have our Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor moments where I get furious at him. And one of my favorite questions is, money, I'm feeling anxious. What do you want me to do so I can feel less anxious? It's a way we get intimate again.
I see.
Or it's time to up-level my money, honey. It's like, oh, I need somebody more mature and more powerful because I'm growing. I need to play a bigger game, and my money is ready to evolve. So I do the process all over again from the beginning. My client, Athena Burke, what a great name. Here I'm talking about money goddesses. When she first hired me, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, bad marriage, wanting to become a single mom, with two small children, lots of debt, not really making much money. And she hired me anyway. Almost immediately, like very soon after that, she got a call. She broke up with her husband, which meant that she was responsible for the mortgage payments herself. She got a call from her bank out of the blue. They called her to renegotiate her mortgage. They paid off her credit card debt, and she ended up paying less for her mortgage every month. And she went from charging $125 an hour, and here now we get into Athena strategy stuff, to charging thousands of dollar packages with her clients per month, making tens of thousands of dollars, ultimately charging $8,000 a month instead of $125 an hour, working fewer hours, spending more time with her kids. And the way we did that was every step of the way, money, what should I charge? Money, what should I do? Money, going out on walks every day, money, and just diligently cultivating that love relationship. And he would tell her, and she would go, oh, no, money, I can't charge that. And he would say, charge that. And she'd charge that, and more people would want to hire her.
So in some cases.
And now she's evolved again, and she's given up her coaching and consulting practice, and now she and her money have decided it's time for her to just focus on her music. So keep communicating. It cuts through the chatter. A client of mine wanted to work with, bring her baby, her project, to a really big guru in personal development who wasn't returning her calls and got kind of weird. And we just asked her money, honey, what he wanted her to do, and he didn't want her to work with that guy. Her stuff is her stuff. Her money, honey, wants her to be the leader and not the second fiddle. Saved her months of going down the wrong route.
Yeah.
And then with Jocelyn, and this is really the Persephone goddess part of discovering your own pain. What she discovered when we went through this process, that we changed her relationship with money, but her relationship with her body changed. And I see this all the time with women. It goes back to our self-worth and our value. There's such a relationship between our relationship with money and our relationship with our body. She had dropped down to 98 pounds and then ballooned up to 180 pounds in under 6 months.
Oh, boy.
The doctors told her she was going to die. First she was starving, and then her eating was out of control. As soon as we changed her relationship with money, her relationship with her body changed. Just like that, she discovered that her body loved her and it kept her alive all that time. And now what she does for others is she teaches other women to have a new relationship with their body, to love their womanness. The women in really masculine industries like the military and the police, her mission is to help these women love their women bodies again.
Wow.
And she thought she just wanted a new relationship with money.
Right, right. And, you know, the universe gives us the direction, right? In that case, you know, the universe delivered her to you to help her fix what she thought was a problem, and then she discovered her calling. I love stories about that. I think my heart is just kind of so open, you know, I just love. Do you realize how many lives that you're changing? How many lives that you're, I mean, it's just so exciting. So exciting when I hear these stories, because every, you know, all of them, you're touching these people in such deep, deep ways. You know, you're changing their life for good. And I think that that's really exciting. Just really exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You made me cry when you said that. I really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, that's what we're here for. It's what we're here to live our message and express our message. And you know, I love working with people that really are, you know, living their message and sharing and changing lives. It's just so exciting. So exciting.
I'm honored to be a sister with you in this work. I just, you know,
yeah,
I just love who you are, and I'm so excited that we get to go on this journey together.
Yes, this is such a fun conversation and very different. You know, if you were to ask my participants, they would say, this is a very different call. And some of them would be like, I'm surprised that she's having this call. I'm sure they would say that. because it is different. It is very, very different. And it's very different than, you know, even abundance coaches talk. You know, but it's all the same. You know, it's all the same. And people do talk
even
about...
Even the downtimes, the bad thoughts and the frightened stuff is a great, great opportunity to reconnect.
Yeah.
To wake up and utilize it. Instead of... My problem with the law of attraction philosophy is I don't believe that people should be punished for feeling bad, having low vibrations, having negative thoughts.
Yeah, it's almost careful to deny that. You know, but you're supposed to accept what is. And if you have a low vibration in some way, you know, with the law of attraction, they're like, well, don't feel that. And I'm thinking, shouldn't we be feeling all our feelings? You know, it's, you know, kind of a law of polarity. You know, we go up, we go down. I mean, you know, if we never felt bad, honestly felt bad, then we'd never feel honestly good. Because we wouldn't know what good is. It would just be like the same old every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have that feeling about law of attraction, too. It's almost like, you know, a denial of feeling.
It's kind of arrogant. Oh, great. Gee, Job, you must have done something really bad to make God mad. And that's not what life is.
Yeah.
It's what we make. Okay, I have just fallen madly in platonic crush with another coach because he loves going to those dark places too. And I'm like, oh, compadre. And he talks about learning to just allow himself to go to bottom really quickly.
Yeah.
When the hurt comes up, instead of fighting it, he just tries to go down to the bottom of the pool as quickly as he can. Get the value, get the wisdom, find the truth, and then push back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
What truth is be revealed is, and I just love that because that's the Persephone journey. We go down into hell to discover our purpose and how we can help others. And out of that, Persephone found true love, and she found her queenhood. It started out as a really sad story, but she fell in love. She was happy. She was a queen, and she decided to stay down there for 6 months of the year and work with her people.
Mm-hmm.
And then come up for spring break. Literally, she comes up to Earth, and it's spring, and then she goes back down.
Mm.
And that's what we are.
Yeah.
Persephone's with nice $300 shoes.
Right. Yeah, and it's a journey. I like to push myself and get myself as uncomfortable as possible in a lot of places. You know, and before I start to run from it. Even in yoga, I have this amazing instructor that'll just make us hold a plank. And she'll time it for, you know, a minute, and we'll be, like, screaming. And she's like, no, go there. Let's see what happens. And, you know, she's like, I'm not trying to bring you to a comfortable place. Change happens when you're uncomfortable. And that made such sense. It, like, resonated throughout my body. And I'm like, I'm going to stay here until literally my arms give out. You know, or my core gives out, one or the other. And just to see what emotions it brings up. I mean, physical pain is just physical pain, but when emotions come up during physical pain, I mean, that's obviously something that needs to be released. It's kind of how I look at it. You know, I'm not going to hurt myself. You know, I'm just going to push it. And I do the same with money. I always have. Both on the, how far can I push it in building my income with offering just an exceptional value to my clients, as well as, you know, how far can I, you know, push it when, you know, when I spend, you know, can I afford the Audi R8 kind of feeling? You know, what would it be like to experience that car? Do I want that as a life experience? Or would I rather not? And, you know, I just noticed that when I push it, even on the spending area, it makes me create more. I create bigger,
One of my clients came back to me with, this is the one who made the $1.5 million a couple of weeks later. He didn't even tell me. My other clients who knew him told me. But what he told me was his money told him that it was okay, and this was before the money when he was still anxious. She said, it's okay to spend money. Just spend it on, spend me on things that are worth it,
uh-huh.
like going to Paris.
Yeah.
Ask, when I was in Australia, because, you know, I come from this, like, Jewish-Scottish background. We are really, really, really cheap.
Huh.
Automatically, you know, it's the autonomic system is always to look for the deal. So here I went all the way to Australia, and I extend the trip because if you're going to be there, you might as well stay a while. And I picked the first hotel room that I came across next to the train station, really cheap. And I get in there, and immediately my money starts speaking up, saying, I can't believe that you dragged me all the way to Australia to stay in a sardine can. Have you no sense of romance, Morgana?
Are
you
funny.
A go for your honeymoon? I don't want to be here. When money says he doesn't want to be somewhere, I listen.
Yeah.
So we got a nicer room, and he was happier.
Yeah. Cool.
And imagine if my, you know, saw me, like, you know, going that way, that's not really what, that isn't what makes me a wealthy person.
Yeah.
Scrimping on an experience way out there in Australia. You know, you just talk with your money, honey, and get his feedback on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, the only thing is, you know, don't do anything you're going to, like, really hate yourself for, right? But I guess your money, honey, won't tell you anything that you're really going to hate yourself for, you know?
Well, not if you have a money, honey, and a good relationship with money. He may ask you to do things that make you uncomfortable. The first time I went on a book tour and I said yes to all these places, I freaked out. I didn't want to do it. I just looked, oh, my God, look at all these plane bills and car rentals, and I don't know if I'm going to sell anything. I don't want to do it. And he said, you were going to do it. You're going to do it. So I went, and I completely sold out of all of my inventory at the second stop.
Wow.
I wanted to pull out. I only did it because my money told me I had to. Because he knew it would be good for me.
Yeah. So, yeah, and as I kind of get it, it's kind of like asking the universe, what's next?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I just call him money because that aspect of the universe and I have had some troubles in the past.
Right. You know, and gosh, if I did it with my body, I'm sure I wouldn't be eating what I normally eat, you know, in some regard. I mean, I eat relatively well, but still, if I would have that kind of relationship with a body, right, I'm sure it would say, don't drink that second Coca-Cola. Bad for pancreas, right?
Try it out.
No kidding. I think that, we could do this in so many areas. It's so, so cool. Very cool.
This is every year sort of has a theme of clients who are, you know, certain patterns. And this year, at least in springtime, I've had all these women who maybe longer, who kind of spontaneously lose weight without dieting. You know, they love themselves. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, through the process, they love themselves, and naturally the eating changes. They're not exercising compulsively. It just, everything kind of falls into place, and boyfriends and husbands don't know what they're doing with me. They just kind of wake up in the middle of the night and want to make love to their girlfriends or wives. Everybody has more love, more sex, and more fun.
Cool. Very cool. I like that, because you're free. You're more free and open, for sure.
And, if we're going to get a law of attraction on it, you're vibrating at this romance level, which is really attractive romance.
Yeah.
Because you can't physically sleep with your money, honey. So who are you going to sleep with? In bed.
Yeah, it's a little bit more fun to do it with a physical person sometimes than a non-physical
person. My client, Sarah Clymer, her money, honey, is the English green man, the god of fertility, and every day she says, well, what do you want me to do today, money? And he says, I want you to make love to your husband.
Sure.
So she does, and he really likes it. So that's been good for their relationship. And at the same time, she's attracting all these clients. She's got a radio show. She's writing her second book. She has all this courage and confidence that she never had before.
Yeah.
And she's a mom of 5 kids who are getting great relationships with money. And on her birthday, she went on this walking pilgrimage in Spain, which was a fantasy of hers.
Mm.
So it's not enough to just have a cute money. There is the sixth step, which is action.
Yeah.
And some of that is going to be do that thing you've been putting off, do your taxes. And one of my clients, her money said, do your taxes. And it was like foreplay. It was just so hot and sexy for her to do her taxes with her money, honey. So sometimes it's going to be the obvious thing, create that new product, and sometimes it's going to be, I really need you to clean that closet or go on a trip.
Right, right. Very exciting. Well, I know that we, if people want to continue with you, we put together a resource and a special for them to continue to learn really about what it means to be like a secret money magnet. Do you want to share that?
I haven't even told you what I've added to it.
Okay.
So this is the special Jen package at secretofamoneymagnet.com/Jen. And this is my virtual breakthrough in a box, which has all of my greatest hits, my 12 months of magic and manifestation, self-coaching home study program, all the CDs on how to change your relationship with money, how to obliterate your limiting beliefs, how to be a wealthy woman, how to stop fear from stopping you, how to make big money. One of my multi-million dollar clients, we did an interview on how to make big money, and so you get the downloads of that and the transcripts and a video of me speaking and some bonus MP3s that aren't listed on the sales page. And, yeah, that's all well and great and good, you know. What I've added that I didn't tell you I was going to do is I have this $500 How to Be a Money Magnet 2.0 virtual product that I haven't started selling yet, isn't on the market. And I'm going to be adding key pieces of that into this package just for Jen. So what you need to do is the web address, the secretofamoneymagnet.com/Jen. When you buy the package, type in the word Jen. Type it with, you know, one N, two N's, however you like. Just make sure that you have the word Jen so that I know it's you, and we will send you the video downloads from the new product that nobody else has seen and nobody else gets access to.
Cool.
How's that?
Yeah. What do they learn in it? What's the transformation that some of your clients have had?
Well, this is...
Am I opening?
I think we've some of it. What I wanted to do was, well, I wanted to create the closest possible experience of working with me that you can get without working with me. Because I can talk about the destination, but how do we actually get you there on a deep level? Where it's not just a swell idea. So I've just gathered together the different tools that get you, you know, kinesthetically through the writing and the daily practice, or visually or auditorially or hypnotically, and I put them together. For people who really want the personal attention, the person who can see what they can't see, what you can do is, and I'm going to make this special for Jen, is you can apply for a strategy session with me. Again, you have to put in the word Jen.
Cool.
Because I have to be very, very careful with my time. And Jen totally understands how that works. So when I put out that offer and I get 70 requests in my inbox, we screen them very, very carefully. So if you want to look at working with me directly, you must put the name Jen in the message box to get priority. And those are the ways that I want to, for those of you who want to go deeper and get more support, that is what I've created for Jen's people. And you guys know who you are.
Yeah.
You already decided a half hour ago who you are.
Yeah.
And so you go either to, yeah, you go to CoachMorgana.com and apply for an application, or you go to SecretOfAMoneyMagnet.com, Jen.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. So, we have a few questions, and I just want to kind of make sure that everyone is happy with, you know, I like to kind of answer all their questions as.
I love questions. I also want to throw in, something totally free so that everybody gets something.
Cool.
If you go to abundanceandprosperity.com, there are two things there for you, totally free. There's an audio MP3 download of a teleclass that I did with Stuart Tan, which will also get you on my VIP list, where I answer burning questions every week to my list. And the other thing is I've got my whole series of How to Be a Money Goddess videos on abundanceandprosperity.com. So that's for my goddesspreneurs out there, just so that everybody gets something if they want something more. Back to you, Jen. Let's answer some questions.
Yeah. So an interesting question, and I think it might have been, you know, explained but not completely. And it said, how do you find your money, honey, if you aren't thinking of someone? So in other words, it's about using your imagination, right, and creating it? Or
well, I would say it depends. Since I don't know this person specifically, the first thing I'd want to make sure is that the money monster is completely gone, because it's not going to work. You're not really going to get a money honey if you've got a money monster lurking. Then you kind of get mud, money mud. You don't want to control the money honey. You really want... you want him to be his own person. Of course he's coming from you, but we don't want it to feel like that. If you aren't seeing him, you might just want to try feeling what he feels like, what it feels like when he holds you, what he smells like, and then gradually you might see him. But where I would – that's a place that people can get stuck. And I would make sure that the monster is even more gone. Make him even goner than he was before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Fabulous. And then we received. If Alina, if you're out there, let me know if your question feels answered by that one. And then one of the things we wrote in the email copy was how to be a money magnet. And so those are your six steps, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, you know, what's the root number? Step number one is what's the root cause of the monster that's making you, you know, feel, you know, emotionally, you know, about emotional about money. What's the root cause?
Yeah, it's what it's really. Why are you repelling and protecting yourself?
Okay.
It's your wound. It's your hurt. Then we personify it, because once we personify it, we can deal with it.
Okay.
Like, you don't want it to be a cloud or any. You want it to be really specific and tangible, so you can get rid of it. That's step number two. Step number three is getting rid of.
Okay.
And it depends on the individual. Any one of these steps can be really easy peasy, or they can be really, really hard. If you can't do it on your own, then take a look at what you need. Do you need a book or a CD, or do you need coaching? Do the best you can and see if that's good enough for now.
So when you mean get rid of it, you mean like, I mean, using your imagination is energy, and I know that, but not everyone knows that. So,
you want to feel it. You want to feel your heart pounding. You want to feel scared. You want to really despise and want nothing to do with the monster. Getting rid of the monster can be a really emotional experience for people. It can be really exciting. It can be exhausting. It can be a very powerful experience. I had one guy who the experience, well, this is actually, I think, generally true for guys, is when they slay that monster, they feel like men. And there, for us, our money, honey, is our knight in shining armor who we've always fantasized about. For them, they are the knight in shining armor who protects their money, honey.
Yeah.
So, like with this one guy, it just hit me. When he destroyed the monster, his money, honey, was there going, oh, my God, you did that for me. You're my hero.
Right.
And he had a really tough time getting rid of his monster. I was there to make sure that it happened. I can tell if it's gone or it isn't. I'm like the money whisperer. I'm a psychic too. I can tell.
An intuitive gift as well that you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I can usually do that for people, is, you know, feel their energy to feel if they are holding that in or not. But oftentimes,
and that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, it goes back to the millionaire heart set. What does your heart tell you? Are you feeling it? What do you need to do? And my clients, you know, I coach all these enlightened coaches and healers and entrepreneurs and artists, you know, just the healers of the world. And when it comes to getting rid of their monster, they are taking out the crossbow and the machete and the flamethrower and really getting rid of this thing.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. You, as you shared at the very beginning, you know, rolling over with a monster truck.
I
loved
that.
You know, and I guess technically you could write it on a piece of paper, you know, this is my monster, and burn it. I'm sure that would release the energy as well.
Well, I had a client a couple of weeks ago. We did that, and I didn't feel it was gone. For
yeah,
it to be
it really,
gone.
It really depends how people can work with their own energy.
She needed to get physical. She needed to take a stick and really beat it gone.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cool. Interesting.
But
I just find fascinating how people work with energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Okay, why don't you give them the link again?
Okay, so for the really special offer, Jen gift, go to secretofamoneymagnet.com/Jen. And for those of you who feel called to work with me directly, go to coachmorgana.com. And again, it's very important that you type in Jen. That's the magic password.
Cool. J-E-N.
J-E-N, yes.
Fabulous. Well, it's been a real joy talking with you tonight. You know, like I said, it was a very different call. And different is good sometimes. Different is very good.
So you'll have to tell me afterwards when we're off the line how it was different. I'm really curious.
Well, we usually talk about business, more business growth. And, you know, occasionally I'll put in somebody who has an energy approach, but we usually talk more about business.
Love strategy.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of great information out there, and I think that there's something missing from a lot of it. And I like magic, too.
Yeah, well, and energy and imagination is magic. And I use it in my business every day. And, you know, I've really tried to incorporate both and have open minds so that they understand how they work together. You know, yes, this system is a great system, but you also need the mindset and, you know, your head, you know, you just have to get your head in the right place. You know, sometimes people won't even put systems in place because their head isn't in the right place. You know, so I really think that knowing how to work with one's energy is more powerful than any business step-by-step system. You need both. You need both.
And you need the one for you. I don't...
Yeah. You know, when you're an entrepreneur, you come up against all your stuff. And we need energy tools to manage it. We need both. Yeah. I believe
you need a guidance system to know what's right for you. More than anything, because there are so many great business plans out there that don't work when I do them.
No. Well, because you're not invested in it usually energetically.
Well, I once hired a copywriter when I was training other coaches, and you know the coaches I train are you know women 35 to 55 who wear purple silk and crystals, you know, and talk about holding your magnificence. So I hired a copywriter to help me write a sales page for them. And no, I kid you not. This is what the sales page said. Dear cash-hungry entrepreneur.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What? I had paid him $5,000 to write a sales page for it that didn't sound like my people.
Because he didn't understand you. Yeah.
I gave him all the information, all the language. And he says, well, but this copy works, and it does for his people.
Yeah.
Not for mine.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Well, and that's the problem with copywriters is if they're not in alignment with who you are and your energy, you know, they don't know. You know, but the problem is he should have taken the time to look at your other copy and you know, at least made some sort of alignment, you know, what wording does she use? You know, what are these people used to seeing? Yeah.
Yeah. I gave him all that information. It's
so much.
The business is changing. Yeah. I don't think that formula is working for anybody anymore.
Authenticity is the new economy. You know, it really is. I mean, if you're not authentic in the new world, you're going to be far missing out. You know, you are, people are not going to like or respect you. That's how I see it.
And I really want to stress, and I'm going to get all really dry business-like right here and, you know, forget about the woo-woo and the goddess and the Persephone and stuff like that. Your whole business, your whole marketing plan rests 100% on knowing who your market is, who your tribe is,
right.
Who are the people. But you can only sell people what they want, not what they need. My people happen to be what I just, the word came up to me yesterday, goddesspreneurs, these spiritual women who have something powerful to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Who are business women, and they need to express themselves, their uniqueness and their spirituality and their feminine energy too.
Yeah.
Those are the people who like me. The people who aren't them, I repel, and mm-hmm. I glory in repelling the wrong people.
Sure. You know, because you have your energy, and you resonate with those that resonate with your energy, and that's great. Right?
And
that,
it tells me what words to use and where to send my material to, and it makes business really, really easy for all the people on the line who are hoping for some business information.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Freak out, that old 70s song.
Well.
That your freaks can find you. I mean, do it.
Well, business intelligence.
Yeah.
You know.
But know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think most of my list knows that I have both in me. That, you know,
mm-hmm.
I sit back and do my marketing yogini thing, you know, with
that
and the big old ohm on my wrist. You know, I am casual, though I like to make things happen and take action. So with that said, you know, I just want to thank you guys for joining us on this amazing call, and I hope that you guys, you know, if the journey with Morgana is right for you, I hope that you join in her next ventures. So
our relationship is just beginning. My blog is abundanceandprosperity.com.
Fabulous.
And my social Jen page is secretofamoneymagnet.com/Jen.
And we'll send that out with the recording. So
thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Namaste, Jen.
Bye-bye.